Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Pastor Dave. He is Pastor Jeff. And we are from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
Today we're talking about angels. It's an interesting topic. Do you believe in angels?
I do.
I also believe in angels, but not for esoteric reasons. I believe because there's evidence.
Esoteric.
Yeah.
Explain what that means.
It means when you're really hungry and the only thing to eat is SpaghettiOs and a guy named Eric. And you're like, no S's, Eric. And he's like, oh.
Okay. Are you going to, is that your final answer?
That's
Jeff?
My final answer. Okay. All right, we're talking about angels. It's not really, what I'm trying to say is it's not for mystical.
Right.
I don't like sit in my room and like, oh, I'm seeing angels.
Right.
I actually had a guy come into the church the other day and he was like, the world's coming to an end next month in November. I was like, okay. And he's like, no, look at my phone. He showed me this picture of a TV set. And he zoomed in on like this scratched part. He's like, look, it's a picture of the devil.
Wow.
And he showed me another picture. And he's like, of the sky and of a cloud. And he zoomed in. He's like, look, there's an angel right there. I was like, that just looks like the sun kind of peeking through the clouds. He's like, no, it's an angel. They show up to me all the time.
Okay.
That's not what we're talking about.
Okay.
Okay, we're talking about real reasons to believe in angels. Now, we are going to share some stories.
Do you have some stories?
I have a book with some stories.
Oh, okay, right on.
I have some stories. I'm not going to share my stories.
Okay.
But, I really don't have one. I think I maybe saw an angel one time. I don't know. Okay. Maybe a couple times. I'm going to share one story of mine.
All right.
When you think of an angel, let's define an angel, okay? Just off the top of your head.
Right, off the top of my head, I think.
Or even what the culture thinks.
Right, and I saw these in like the children's Bible books and stuff like that. It'd be the long blondish brown hair with a robe all the way down to the ankles and sandals on and big white wings.
Yes.
And they're dressed in white.
Yes.
Okay. And absolutely. They're all skinny and tall.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And especially nowadays, angels are portrayed as like attractive women.
Mm.
A lot of times,
right.
A lot of times babies that are cute little chubby.
The cherub?
Yeah. So, what do you think angels cannot do?
What angels cannot do?
Cannot do. Listener, think about it. What do you think angels cannot do? Do you think they know everything?
No.
Okay, that's a good question. We're going to talk about facts about angels and about what they can and can't do,
right.
What they are and aren't.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the time that I think maybe an angel assisted my life.
Okay.
I was driving my car, and some of you already know this, right? I was driving my car. I was 16, 17. My buddy and I, Mike and I were, we wanted to see how fast it would go.
Being stupid.
This is not recommended. Not do this. We got my car on a gravel road. We wanted to see how fast it could go. It was an Acura Integra. And we got it. We were going fast. We were going about 120 miles an hour.
On gravel. Wow.
This is exceptionally stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And we were coming down this hill. And as we were coming down this hill, we saw a dump truck come down the other side of the hill. We're going to meet in the valley. I'm on gravel.
Right.
Have you ever tried to stop on gravel going 60?
No. I mean, I've tried to stop on gravel going like 40, and it's still not easy.
And so we're going 120. I let off the gas. And of course, this all happens crazy fast, right? I let off the gas pedal. I know I can't slam on my brakes because that's just going to make the car spin out of
Absolutely
control.
Right.
And so I don't hit the brakes. My friend screams, we're going to die.
Oh, no.
So the truck, you see his eyes get huge. He slams on his brakes. Spins sideways on the road. Now this is a 1.5 lane gravel road.
Right. You have to get extremely over to the one side so that somebody can pass on the other.
Yes. Yeah. And he slides sideways, blocks the entire thing.
Figures that's your luck, right?
This is why my friend screams we're going to die.
Right.
Because we're now going probably 100 miles an hour at this truck who has blockaded the entire road. There's no question. We knew we were going to die. I closed my eyes. I let go of the steering wheel.
Right.
About 2 seconds passes. I open my eyes up. We're on the other side of the truck. My friend opens his eyes. He's like, we're not dead. We eventually come to a stop. We turned the car. Well, I think we sat there for longer. Uh-huh. What just happened?
Well, yeah, I think I would too.
Yeah. We turned the car around. We went back to where we were. We did not see any tire tracks on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a ditch there and a little hill. Like, we would probably would have felt it. I to this day, I do not know how or even if it was possible for us to get past that truck. And so I just wonder if an angel just picked the car up, put it on the other side of the truck.
Right. Okay. So some people might be thinking, and I'm going to go ahead and dispel that myth right now.
Okay.
Have you ever done drugs, Jeff?
I've never done drugs.
Okay. I'm just checking.
And at that point in my life, I had never drank more than one tiny baby sip of alcohol.
Right.
And that was when I was like a little tiny kid and I grabbed one of my relatives' beer cans. But I had never drank. I had never done drugs ever. And this was not, I wasn't even on Mountain Dew at that point, right. I don't think.
So this is something that really, really happened.
This really, really happened. Yeah. So it's kind of crazy. Ron Rhodes in his book, Angels Among Us, which Ron Rhodes is a good scholar. Okay, this is not some crazy guy. This is page 17. He says, Reverend John G. Patton was a missionary in some New Hebrides islands, wherever those are. According to his testimony, his mission headquarters was surrounded by hostile natives one night. They apparently intended to burn the building to the ground and put John and his wife to death.
Okay.
The Pattons turned to God. They threw themselves on his mercy. They asked him to deliver them. They prayed throughout the night. So these guys are surrounded his whole place. They're ready to kill him. He are praying. The family's praying. He asked God to deliver him. They prayed throughout the night. When the first rays of sunlight came the next morning, the Pattons were utterly amazed to see all that the natives had left. About a year later, the chief of that tribe became a Christian. And when Patton asked the chief why the tribe had refrained from burning down the headquarters on that fateful night, the chief surprised him by inquiring, "Who are all those men you had with you?" Patton answered, "There were no men here, just my wife and I." The chief then told Patton that he and his warriors had seen hundreds of men standing guard outside the headquarters that night, all dressed in shining garments with swords drawn. These guards completely encircled the headquarters and the tribe dared not attack. It was then that Patton realized that God had dispatched his angels to guard him and his wife. As Psalm 34 tells us, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers him.
Amen.
Patton's testimony sounds remarkably similar to the story of Elisha. When in Elisha, some armies surrounded a town that they were in. So, I mean, isn't that fascinating?
That is awesome.
I mean, this is not like some guy making just, I think an angel showed up. This is a guy who he expected to die, didn't die. And then someone else told him, we saw an army around your house. That's why we didn't kill you.
Right. And this guy was totally intent on killing them.
Totally.
So he had no reason to lie about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we turned away because there was no way we could get to you.
That's right.
Wow.
Now we're going to list some facts about angels. And if you want to know more, you're going to have to look it up in scripture because in our short little half hour show, we don't have enough time to go into every detail about where this comes from. But we're just going to throw out some facts that you need to know. Okay. Fact number one.
Humans do not become angels.
Thank you, Dave.
That was a question.
You asked the question. State it without being a question.
Humans do not become angels.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That is true. Everyone's like, my relative died. They're an angel now.
Right.
No, they're not. And I'm sorry. Like, it's a deeply personal thing for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so I don't march down to funerals, kick in the doors and be like, listen up. They're not angels.
Right. But, and they're not watching over you after they're gone.
Right. I mean, so I understand that it's personal. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm trying to yell at people, but you got to understand when your relative dies, if they were human, they stay human. They don't change into some other species.
Right. Because God created the angels separately from mankind.
Exactly. We are human. We will always be human. Eventually Jesus will return to earth. We will be human with real bodies on earth. Mm-hmm. We will not be angels. The other thing you need to understand is number two.
Angels are not all equal. They have different ranks.
Now, this is fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
Much like the military, they have different ranks. So one possible way that the angels are ordered is the very highest angel is considered the archangel, then cherubim angels after that, then seraphim after that. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of theological wrangling and why people order them that way. The Bible never tells us straight up number one, number two, number three. But there's some good reasons to think this is the way it is.
Is it like in the military, is it possible for one to go from one rank to another rank? Or are they made specifically that way? Say somebody does something specifically daring, mm-hmm. you know, as far as an angel goes, is they do something daring. Can they go from being like a seraphim to an archangel?
I don't know. Okay. My presumption would be no, because seraphim and archangels are described very differently right. when you see them. Mm-hmm. So like they have different, seraphim have multiple wings, multiple eyes. They're partly made of fire. I mean, right. and archangels aren't. They're not completely visible creatures either right. until they take on form. So I don't know, Dave. I don't know the answer to that question. I would say probably not, but okay. but I don't know.
I'll accept that.
All right. Number three.
All right. Angels have time and space limitations.
That's right. They're limited by time mm-hmm. and they're limited by space. Unlike God, who is not limited by right, time.
Absolutely.
This is important. Daniel 9:21, we're going to read this to show you why and how this works. But Daniel 9:21 says this.
While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice.
Gabriel is an angel. Mm-hmm. He comes in swift flight.
Right.
Right. He is booking. This guy's right. moving.
He didn't just pop in.
No.
Right. Okay.
He's like running. Right. Uh-huh. Just like, except he's flying.
Right.
He's like, That was really weird.
Yeah.
Fly.
Yeah. Okay, whatever.
I'm not going to do that again.
Let's continue. Okay.
But here's why.
Daniel 10:12-14. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them."
Okay, so Daniel started praying, mm-hmm. and immediately his words were heard. The angel Gabriel was sent by God. Gabriel came to answer the prayer. Right. Mm-hmm.
"But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days.
Whoa.
Right.
So the angel came mm-hmm. to assist Daniel when he was praying.
Right.
But what happened?
He was delayed because he was resisted by the prince of Persia.
Someone was fighting him. Mm-hmm. Okay. Some people think this is Satan.
Right.
Some people think it's actually the actual prince of Persia was doing things that cause the angel to have a problem.
Okay.
Because humans and angels can interact. Things we do affect the angels. Things right. the angels do affect us.
Right.
So perhaps something the prince of Persia did affected the angel, delayed him. Perhaps it was actually a name for Satan. And so Satan did something that stopped him. Now, listen, this is important. What happened next?
Then Michael, one of the chief princes.
Okay, Michael is an archangel.
Right. Came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come.
So Michael, an archangel, actually had to come and help Gabriel because right. Gabriel was in big trouble. Mm-hmm. He'd been delayed for, 21 days?
Yeah.
For 21 days. So after 3 weeks, Michael, the archangel, goes, "Ay, ay, ay. I'm going to have to step in here."
Right.
Right. And he comes, he fixes the situation. Then Gabriel's free to go and answer Daniel's prayer. Now, first of all, this should tell you something about the way you pray.
Right.
Some of you pray for something for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, and after a week or two, you stop praying. And you don't know, maybe an angel was dispatched, and after like a week and a half, you stop praying, and God's like, "Hey, yo, come back. Come back." They stopped.
Right.
That's serious stuff
Absolutely. I agree.
If Daniel didn't really want to answer this prayer, maybe Gabriel wouldn't have gone. Maybe if Daniel had stopped.
Right. And we got to ask ourselves, it's like, how bad do we want a prayer answered?
Mm-hmm.
If we want a prayer to be answered just bad enough to where we only pray for it for a week and then stop, how bad did we really want that prayer to be answered?
Right. I mean, Jesus tells us, he implores us to be like the persistent widow who kept going to the judge day after day after day after day until God answers our prayers.
Amen.
So don't stop. We say persistence and consistence brings God's assistance. So you got to remember that when you're praying. Be persistent. Boom, boom, boom. Be consistent every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that keep that in mind. All right. Number four.
Angels don't necessarily have wings.
Whoa. Some do.
Mm-hmm.
Some don't.
Those drink Red Bull.
Right.
Gives you wings.
Hebrews 13:2 says, "Don't forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it."
Right.
That's crazy. You entertain angels. You don't even know it. Sometimes there's an angel around town and you don't even know it. And you've entertained them. You've either welcomed them in, told them about Jesus, or you just walked on by.
Yeah, or shut them out.
Or you were rude to them.
Right.
So this is interesting. Some of them don't have wings. They're not glowing. They look like normal people.
That's interesting.
How do you think an angel gets a body?
I don't know. I guess we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break, right?
No.
No?
We'll talk about more stuff, though.
Okay.
Come on back. We got a lot more information about angels including what you and I are going to do with angels after this world's over.
All right.
Be right back.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give... Give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
So you've considered coming to Revolution Church.
But you haven't yet. So we have a challenge for you.
Watch live online, then visit three times.
Watch our services live before you visit
at www.revo.church.
If the teaching doesn't hit home, forget about it. But if it does, come be our guest three times in a row, because after that, we bet you'll want more.
Watch live online, then visit three times.
Yeah, it can be nerve-wracking to visit a church, but I promise we're friendly and you have nothing to lose, but you have eternal life to gain.
www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Jesus wasn't the only Messiah.
That's what they say. Sabbatai Zevi was a 17th century Jewish teacher who claimed to be the Messiah.
A messenger came before him, as predicted.
His tomb was empty shortly after his death.
And there are miracle stories. Once he cursed a church and it sank into the ground.
Is this legit?
Well, his forerunner, Nathan, actually says he didn't do miracles.
Oh. And though some people claim his tomb was empty, nobody saw him resurrected.
In fact, Nathan says that Sabbatai is still sleeping.
The biggest problem, he was captured by Muslims who forced him upon punishment of death to say that he was not the Messiah and that people should convert to Islam.
And Zevi did what the Muslims requested, denying that he was the Messiah and telling people to convert to Islam.
That should tell us something.
You think?
If someone suggests there was another Messiah, make sure to look into all the facts before flipping out.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit hopehouseks.org.
That's hopehouseks.org.
Revolution Church.
Have you ever thought, gee, I'd like to go to church, and I really wish someone would make me get out of bed early?
Not me. I like my sleep.
Just go with it. We're making an ad.
Okay. Yes, I have always wished someone would wake me up earlier.
Okay, I got lots of kids, so I'm already awake. New service time at Revolution Church, 8:30 a.m.
Cool, and for those of us who prefer beauty sleep, Revolution also has 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m.
Check out www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Revo.church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. We're talking about how every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
No, Dave. What? That is absolutely not what we're talking about.
That's what they say.
All right, so
I don't know who they are, but that's what they say.
We know angels don't necessarily have wings. We know that they have space-time limitations.
Mm-hmm.
We know that they're not equal. They have different ranks. We know that humans do not become angels.
Right.
But number five, Dave.
Angels are immortal.
Luke 20:36, Jesus is talking, and he says that these people can no longer die, for they are like the angels. In other words, angels don't die.
Mm-hmm.
They're just immortal. They just continue to live forever and ever and ever. They can't die. In Daniel chapter 9, the angel Gabriel appears to Daniel. 500 years later, he appears to Zechariah.
Right.
So he's really old.
Mm-hmm.
Very and
immortal.
Immortal.
Yeah, that's from a long time ago.
The Bible doesn't tell us when these angels were created.
Right.
That's an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if more angels are being created right now.
Well, if you think about eternity, from eternity to eternity, you know, from everlasting to everlasting, he could have created the angels any time prior to creating the universe.
Mm.
And so we know they're at least as old as the universe. Would you think? Or do they even have an age?
They're not eternal. I mean, there was a moment when angels didn't exist and then a moment when they did exist.
Right.
But they may be older than the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good question.
Yeah.
All right. Angels often frighten people. This is number six. You got to keep this in mind.
Yeah.
If an angel hasn't taken on like a human form, then you're going to be freaked out when you see the angel. Luke chapter 1 says this.
Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid."
That's right. And in Luke 1:28, the angel went to her, Mary, and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, think about this. The angel shows up and he says, "You are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mm-hmm. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this could be.
Right.
But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Again, he continues to talk. Right. Mary is so afraid when she sees this angel. She's like, "What's happening?" And all he did was say, "God really likes you."
Right.
Ah! Right. Angels freak people out.
Right. It was almost like she was so freaked out she didn't even hear the words.
Yeah.
It was just they passed right by her consciousness.
Exactly. Yeah. Why do you think most popular descriptions in our culture of angels show them as like these cuddly creatures?
Honestly, I think it's because people want to believe that angels are approachable and that they're not dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
And that very well could be a plan of the enemy.
That could be.
To try and make us believe that angels can't help you.
That very well could be.
Because they're little cuddly babies.
Number 7, angels show up at the moment of death and escort believers to heaven. Luke 16 says, "The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side."
Wow.
I know when my Aunt Katie was dying, she believed in Jesus. She loved Jesus. Mm-hmm. She had cancer. And the day of her death, she would look and she would get this look on her face and say, "Can you see him?" And he'd say, "See what or who?" And say, "He's beautiful." And just she was seeing something. It's possible she was hallucinating.
Right.
And it's possible she was seeing something that we couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
So possible it was angels. Number 8.
We will judge angels.
1 Corinthians 6:1-4 says this.
If any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life?
Dang!
Yeah.
You're actually, if you're a believer, you are going to judge the angels and apparently how they acted and how well they did their jobs.
That is crazy thought.
It is crazy. Yeah. So, and most likely there are millions of angels, maybe billions. Mm-hmm. Revelation 5:11 says, "I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. Now 10,000 times 10,000 is
100 million.
Yes. St. Albert the Great, uh-huh. This guy lived 1200 AD. He actually said there were 399,920,004 angels.
That's pretty specific.
That is oddly specific. I don't know how he got that number.
I wonder, did he name them all? Or did he give his clue?
He only named the 4 at the end.
Oh, okay.
Clement of Alexandria suggested there were as many angels as there were stars in heaven. So that's billions. Mm-hmm. Now, that one's loosely based on scripture. I don't know where the other guy got his number from, but I want to read another story to you about angels.
Okay.
Actually, you know, before we do that, let's read the Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right, let's talk about money, okay? God's command, Leviticus 25:37, you must not lend them money at interest.
Okay.
Okay? However, Luke 19:23, Jesus is talking. He says, "Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?"
Oh. Okay, and I believe this is from 1001BibleContradictions.com.
Okay.
They say this is a contradiction, but in our cracked acronym, the D stands for?
Dialect.
Dialect, right? What type of words are they using? What genre is being communicated? Well, when you look at Leviticus, okay, the genre here is commands.
Yeah.
Commands from God. This is how you should live. Specifically, these were commands about how one Jewish person should treat another Jewish person who has become poor. It's not saying all interest is wrong. But if they become poor, listen to Leviticus 25:35, right? So this is two verses before the one they just read.
Right. If any of your fellow Israelites become poor and are unable to support themselves.
Right. Then it goes on to say, you can lend money, but don't charge interest. It also says sell them food, but not at a profit.
Right.
In other words, it's saying when there's someone like a fellow Christian or a fellow person in your country and they're having a hard time, Don't take advantage of them.
Right. And help a guy out.
Yeah. In fact, yeah, even help them more.
Right.
Don't even charge them interest. Don't sell them food at a profit. When Jesus was talking in the book of Luke about getting interest on his money, he was sharing a parable.
Right.
This is not a command. This is not how you treat poor people. It was a parable about when Jesus returns, and he was saying, okay, God's going to give you abilities or money, and God expects you to use that for God's glory and to help people know him. And in Jesus' story, he was saying, it's kind of like a person gave their servants money, and one of these people went and just took the money and buried it. And God, Jesus is like, Are you going to go and use the gifts God gives you? Are you going to hide them away like someone burying their money and not even collect interest on it? Two totally different dialects, two totally different genres, right? Jesus' point was God gives you money and God gives you abilities, and you should use them to do what God wants with them, not just bury them. So they actually have very much the same point, right? If God's giving you money, if God's giving you food and someone's poor, lend it to them.
Right.
Don't charge them interest because God's given it to you for a reason.
Right.
To help poor people is one of them.
Absolutely.
So this isn't a contradiction. These actually line up very well.
Bible contradiction.
All right.
All right.
Let's get on to the story that you're going to tell from the Ron Rhodes book.
Oh, yeah. All right. So this is page 22. One day in 1977, Linda Gates of Sacramento, California, was cleaning her kitchen when she suddenly heard her 4-year-old boy, Michael, running down the hall. She heard the front door slam shut, an unusual occurrence since the door was warped, requiring adult strength to close it tightly. Upon going outside, Linda found Michael, his eyes wide open. He said, "A man got me out, Mama. A man got me out." Michael then led his mother to a smoke-filled room where a curtain was burning. As it turned out, Michael had been playing with a box of matches and set the curtains on fire. After firefighters put out the blaze, one of them told Linda the smoke could easily have killed her son. Linda recounts, "Michael told me that a man with long blonde hair and a many-colored shirt appeared at his door and said, 'Michael, come out of there.' When my son said he wanted to look for his teddy bear, the man pulled him out of the room."
Wow.
That evening, their bedtime story just happened to be about Daniel in a lion's den.
Wow, nice.
And the key verse for the story was, "My God sent his angel and he shut up the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight." Linda was confident that God had sent an angel to rescue her son.
That's intense.
That's crazy, right? Look, there's a lot of popular notions about angels alike, and most of them are wrong.
Right.
Time magazine says, "For those who choke too easily on God and his rules, angels are a handy compromise, all fluff and meringue, right. Kind of non-judgmental. They're available to everyone like aspirin." That's disgusting.
Yeah.
All right, angels are not fluffy and meringue. They are scary when you see them.
Mm-hmm.
They follow exactly what God wants them to do. That includes executing judgment if God were to tell them to do so.
Wow.
Right. Sophie Burnham, not a good teacher. She says, "An angelic visit brings a calm, peaceful serenity that descends sweetly over you. And this is true even when the angel is not seen." Show me somewhere in scripture that describes an angel that makes you feel that way.
I don't think there are any.
There is one, actually.
Is there really?
2 Corinthians 11:4.
Okay.
"Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light."
Go figure, right?
So if you have an encounter with an angel and what you feel is fluffy marshmallows and a soft peace, you might be encountering Satan, not a real angel.
Right. Wow.
The word angel describes one of their primary jobs. The word angel actually means messenger.
Okay.
Right? An angel went to Mary to tell her she'd be with child. An angel told Jesus' followers that he had risen. Angel gave road directions to Philip to meet a eunuch. Psalm 103 says this:
"Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word."
All right, so their primary job is to do God's bidding.
Mm-hmm.
They just, what God says, boom, they carry it out.
Yeah.
They rescue Peter from prison in Acts 12.
Yeah.
An angel kills King Herod because people shouted, "Herod is the voice of a God," and he didn't say no.
Oh.
Right, angels execute judgment. Angels are frightening, but angels can save you if God tells them to.
Right, and if anybody ever calls you God,
say no.
Say no.
Because if not, God might send an angel to kill you.
Right.
So, thanks for listening today. We're from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
Right. You want to get on out there? TruthRevolution.tv is our website, and then Revo.church is the church's website.
That's Revo.church. Dave, what do they have to wear if they come to church?
Just something, as long as it covers things up.
That's right. Just cover yourself up somehow.
You can come in looking like Robinson Crusoe, all tattered and, you know,
yeah,
like you've been on a deserted island forever.
Wilson!
Right.
That wasn't Robinson Crusoe, but close. Kinda. All right. Truth Revolution Church. Have a great week.